Okay, what are we doing here? Here on earth, here in human bodies, here in Texas, in this church, in our families, in our jobs. Sometimes it seems to me life is only about answering that question. Why am I here? Or, as long as I'm here, what is mine to do? We started last week with this series about life purpose. Even though finding your life purpose is trendy, it's important. And I believe we do have life purposes. And the more clearly we can discern what they are, the more we can design our lives to fulfill them. And we don't have to figure it out alone. I believe we will be called throughout life into our soul's purpose, called to ways of carrying out the purposes, and they might change over time. So let's talk today about callings. 15 years ago, when I was making the switch from journalism to ministry, I ran across a book by Greg Levoy, L-E-V-O-Y, titled Callings. And it has become a classic on what happens when we are called higher. It's not a spiritual book per se. He doesn't write much about God. It's life calling us. It's the human experience. So what is a calling? I thought about this a lot this week. It's not quite the same as life purpose. It's a clue or an opportunity to express purpose. So, for instance, last week I said my purpose is to shine the light of truth, to offer ideas and information that might be useful in people's lives. To do that, I was called to journalism and to ministry. I think they were both callings. They are vehicles for the same purpose. So callings get us to the vehicles. If life purpose is the what, callings are telling us how to go about it, what we can do or be to carry out our life purpose. God has no hands and feet but ours, no voice but ours. We are spiritual beings. We are God in expression on the earth. And callings suggest how to do that. They offer different ways we might express the divine individually. They allow us to give our absolute best. They also challenge us, grow us. By accepting a calling, we test ourselves. It's the hero's journey, being called to leave home, seek treasure, slay dragons, and return with great wisdom. Not all callings are big. I said last week, most of our life purposes are carried out within ordinary lives. You might spend a whole lifetime just loving, or working on forgiveness, or helping to heal others. The ways that you are called to carry out your life purposes might involve what you do for a living, might not, or both over time. Whatever it is, a calling asks you to play bigger, to go deeper. And the main thing about a calling is that it can make you really, really uncomfortable. So let's talk first about how we receive callings and then how we respond to them. With practice, you can establish an ongoing conversation with the divine. In your head, through writing or art, in meditation, a lot of you already have practices like that. But don't let anyone scold you about looking outside yourself for guidance as well. Yes, the answers are within you, but sometimes you need a catalyst, a stimulus from outside, and God is out there too. So you might receive a message about your calling from a book or a movie, maybe song lyrics you can't get out of your head. In fact, when a song is stuck in your head, listen to what it's saying. Might or might not have a message. Maybe it's a conversation you overheard. Maybe it's a comment from a friend or a stranger. Especially if that comment makes you really mad for a while until you realize they were right. Sometimes a calling seems involuntary. You get fired, your partner issues an ultimatum, a door slams, and you're in the hallway. A calling might lead you to what's next. Callings may be the result of conflict. If the same problem rears its ugly head over and over, pay attention. What is it asking you to do or be? Some callings come through questions, a decision waiting to be made. Sometimes fun questions. One of my favorites is, what did you love when you were young that you didn't pursue? Music, art, politics, business, acting might still be a calling. Or what would you say if you were given an hour of prime time? What is your message for the world? That might be your calling. What problems have you overcome? You might have an answer other people need, so helping in that area could be a calling. How do you know you're being called? It's an idea that just won't let go. God is a nag. You will keep running into it. People will be tugging at your sleeve. It will show up in your dreams. And you just find yourself putting one foot in front of the other toward that calling, even though it doesn't make sense yet and you really don't think it'll work. You might get messages from art. Nature is full of messages for us. Animals bring word from the divine. It might be a journey, a trip, an actual pilgrimage. Our friend Ed Townley says the idea to write a book about Revelation came to him, was revealed to him, while he was standing in the cave on the Greek island of Patmos, where Revelation was supposedly written. And Ed, by the way, says he learned long ago, go ahead and follow your guidance as soon as you get it, or he will get sick. And as a last resort, your body will call to you. Symptoms may be calling you higher. We all know people who completely reinvented themselves after a heart attack or cancer. They say they're more compassionate, they're more spiritual. Louise Hay has made a career of this. Her calling has been to link illness with spirituality. And her book, Heal Your Life, has a list of symptoms and what they might represent in your life. And it just occurred to me this morning that a sore foot, an injured foot, I don't even have to look it up. It's about fear. It's about not wanting to move forward. I used to make fun of people on crutches because, oh, yeah, metaphysically, you just don't want to move. Anyway. Another time, I have been blessed with a really strong back. I come from a long line of Irish potato pickers. But years ago, I had some kind of back spasm for about a week. I now have great sympathy for people with back problems. You have no idea how often you engage your back until it hurts every time you do it. But I was reading Louise Hay, and I thought, okay, what load am I carrying? What is weighing me down that's hurting my back? And did a little visualization about taking this load, this heavy bag off my shoulder and setting it down. And the healing started. It was trying to tell me something. We are in constant contact with God or our soul or inner wisdom, whatever you call it. It speaks to us from everywhere if we have ears to hear. Greg Lavoie in the book Callings says, callings are not orders. They're the start of a conversation. So listen always, every day. He says to pay attention as if you were in love, when every detail is meaningful, to become a student of your own life. Most people are not called by a burning bush or a booming voice from heaven. Callings are more of an inner nudge, an idea that won't let go, something from outside you that resonates inside like a big, deep bell. You vibrate with knowing what is yours to do. That doesn't mean you will like it. Back to the burning bush, Moses stood on holy ground with the voice of God speaking to him from a burning bush, and he argued with it. God said, you know the story, God said, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, moi? I could never do such a thing. I'm not a good speaker. Pharaoh won't listen to me. Nobody will believe I've talked to God. What is your name anyway? He had a burning bush. He had a bush. And he still resisted what he was being called to do. And that is completely typical. Nearly everyone resists a calling at first, because if it doesn't scare you, it probably isn't a calling, it's just an idea. If it doesn't summon you out of your comfort zone, if it doesn't demand more of you than you thought you wanted to give, then it's just another day. And this is how we guard against ego masquerading as a calling, some personal desire that we claim is spirit-guided. A calling isn't something you would have thought of yourself. A calling, by definition, is something new and untried. It might become exciting, but it usually starts with, who, me? Or even, do I have to? So an even better story in the Bible of resistance to a calling, better than Moses, is the story of Jonah. It's too long to read you, so I'll just tell you. I mean, most people know Jonah was swallowed by a whale, right? Do you remember why? Because he had a calling and he didn't want to go. He was called to go preach in the city of Nineveh. Now, this is an Old Testament story, so he was being asked to be an Old Testament prophet, to go to Nineveh and set those people straight, and he didn't want to go. He went in the opposite direction, and when he ran out of land, he booked passage on a ship and sailed in the opposite direction of Nineveh. A great storm came up, and the ship was tossed on the waves. The sailors really thought the ship was going to break up in the water. Jonah, asleep in the bottom of the boat, oblivious, checked out. The captain came down and woke him up and said, "Why don't you pray to that God of yours about this storm?" And Jonah fessed up. He said, "Actually, this storm is between me and God. I'm sorry you guys were caught in the middle." And he said, "Look, you could just throw me overboard." And they said, "Good." And threw him over the side, and the storm calmed down. And the Bible doesn't say whale, it says great fish came along and swallowed Jonah. For 3 days, Jonah sat in the belly of the fish till he was ready. And then the fish spit him up onto the land at Nineveh. God is a nag. Callings will not let go. That's a wonderful story. It's a fable, but it shows us something about the human experience. And for a story to last this long, we must see ourselves in it. So let's look at our modern-day forms of resistance, the metaphorical belly of a whale, or sleeping in the bottom of the boat during a storm. How do we resist callings? Well, analyze it to death. Or wait for the perfect moment. Or convince ourselves there's not enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough expertise to do that. Sometimes we start something that's close but not quite, like working as a copywriter when you're called to be a novelist. Distractions are a biggie. Everything from television to family crises to house cleaning, there's always one more thing to take care of first. Finding fault with the calling? Oh, I didn't want to do that anyway. That wouldn't have worked anyway. Sabotaging yourself so it doesn't work out? Or, I love this, making yourself unfit so you're not allowed to do it. There was a legendary story at Unity Institute Seminary. This happened years before I was there, but a man was dragged out of a local strip club, drunk, the night before he was supposed to start ministerial school. He never became a minister. We find all kinds of ways to resist or make sure we never have to get serious about a calling. And it's understandable. Callings draw us into a space between life as we know it and the life that could be. They demand change, maybe external, like a new job or city, probably internal, starting to live in a different way, to be different. It is possible to say no to a calling. We have free will. And that's probably better than just procrastinating for a lifetime, but watch out for whales. The story of Jonah has a couple of elements I never saw before. I always assumed the whale was punishment. You run away from God's call, you end up in the belly of a whale. But the Bible says God provided the whale. When Jonah was flailing in the ocean after he was thrown overboard, the great fish swallowed him and held him in its belly for 3 days. It was protection. What did he do in the belly? He prayed. Not a prayer of desperation, a prayer of gratitude. Thanks for rescuing me from drowning. He saw now what was his to do. And in the prayer, he says, God is great and I will follow my call. And then it says, God spoke to the fish and the fish spit Jonah out. I never realized the whale was an agent of the universe. It kept Jonah safe. It gave him time to come around. If you don't want to follow your calling at first, give it time. If it's really a calling, it'll grow on you. I had to warm up to the idea of becoming a minister and still thought it was crazy for a long time. But a calling feels right, even if it looks crazy. You just know you're on the right path, even when it's not easy or doesn't go well or other people object. You know you're where you're supposed to be. So, what is a calling? It's life prompting you to carry out your soul's purpose, reminding you why you're here, suggesting vehicles for the soul work you wanted to do anyway. It's offering ways for you to give your gift to the earth. And again, it might be part of ordinary life. I know a lot of you are perfectly happy with the lives you have. You worked hard to get here. You're not looking for a big calling. And that's fine. Your calling now may be supportive grandparent or whatever you are called to do in retirement. But I don't think we ever stop receiving calls. How does a calling arrive? So many ways. Dreams, meditation, nature, other people, events. It usually comes more than once. It won't let go. And third, don't be surprised if you feel resistance. In fact, the more you resist, the more important the calling. The greater the power you could unleash. It's like sitting on a volcano. And then why go through with it? Because at some level you asked for it. You have some purposes for this life and you asked for guidance into them. That's why a real calling won't go away. You can say no, but it might be one of those things you regret on your deathbed that you didn't have the courage to try. You know, I don't believe our lives are predestined. We have free will and we create our own experience. But I like to think we had some broad plans for this life when we came in, and our callings summon us in the direction we wanted to go anyway. So we'll talk next week about the lives we intended to create and look at how we're doing. Let's take these thoughts into meditation. To meditate, we simply become comfortable. You might want to put both feet on the floor. Let your shoulders relax down from your ears. Open up some space around the back of your neck. And breathe. We breathe God. Spirit is breath. Life is breath. And life calls us to our soul purposes. We are called to parts of life that are more exciting, interesting, and instructive than we ever imagined. Things we could never have thought of ourselves. Beyond our wildest dreams, even the really difficult parts are a calling. are an opportunity to grow our souls a little more. All we have to do is pay attention. And so in a few moments of quiet, listen within for what you are being called to do, to be. Today, this week, for the rest of your life, what is calling you? We are so grateful for the awareness that we're here for a reason, even if we don't fully understand it. So grateful that we are never alone in carrying out our life purpose. So grateful for the opportunity to be here, to learn here and to grow, to love and to laugh. We say thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.